Hey, everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I want to welcome you once again to our midweek video. We appreciate you tuning in. If you haven't already done so, if you consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell here on YouTube as a way of staying current with the ministry when we go live from our assembly building on Sunday morning, as well as when we create content for you here midweek, we would certainly appreciate that. Also want to remind you here about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We established this as an alt-text site should something happen to our YouTube ministry. So if you're into alt-text sites or would like an alternative to YouTube, please consider joining us and subscribing here on Rumble as well. My featured books this week are, first of all, my co-authored church history book on J.C. O'Hare, The Origins of the American Grace Movement, 1899 to 1958. This is co-authored with a former professor of mine, Dr. Dale DeWitt. This is a full-length, hardbound church history book covering the history of the American Grace Movement and the history of dispensationalism in the United States. Also want to remind you about my book, Rightly Dividing E.W. Bullinger, Assessing His Life, Ministry, and Impact. I wrote this book to chart the most importantly, the dispensational change in Bullinger's thinking that he had in the late 19th century, last decade of the 19th century, and then how he changed it moving into the first decade of the 20th century as he switched out what I would consider to be an Acts 13 dispensational position for what would become known as the Acts 28 dispensational position. So, both of these books, both the O'Hare book and the Bullinger book, are both available. You can order them. There'll be links to description under this video, so if you would consider checking those out or picking those up, we'd certainly appreciate that as well. For those of you who have been following the channel here of late, you know that midweek I have decided that I'm going to interact with the book, The Rise and Fall of Dispensationalism, by Daniel G. Hummel. This book was released last month in May 2023, and I heard about it through the Holy Post podcast that somebody shared with me, as I said in episode number one, and decided to, as I started reading the book, that I wanted to interact with it here. As you know, our ministry has done a lot in the past by studying the history of dispensationalism, and so this was of particular interest to me, and it's a topic that I haven't really talked necessarily a lot about of late. So I hope that you are enjoying this, as the one I'm recording now will be episode number four in this particular series. Okay, we have also been using the free Google Books preview here. As I've said in the past, this is limited. It does not grant access to the entire book, but it does all of the front material, the foreword by Mark Knoll, the preface, and the introduction. So where we stand right now, as far as through three episodes, we've looked at the foreword and the preface. We did that in episode one. In episodes two and three, we looked at the introduction and the history of the term dispensationalism. We looked at rightly dividing dispensationalism. And we've looked at historical boundaries in episodes two and three. I'm spending a lot of time on the introduction because the introduction really does lay out sort of the goals and aims of the book, the structure and format the book follows, and how the arguments will be progressing through the book. As we get into the individual chapters, I probably am obviously not going to read those whole things. I'll just probably hit on some high points, etc. So we have two things left that we really need to do as it pertains to the introduction. We need to go through the end times and everything else section, as well as dispensationalism and time and space. And it was my original intent to do that this week. However, for a variety of reasons, I sort of need to make a shorter video here. I am in the process of wrapping up for the summer my class on the Bible from This Generation Forever. And those of you that have been following that class, the From This Generation Forever class, let's go live here and I'll show you what I'm talking about. We've been talking about the preface to the King James Bible. And I need to end that conversation. And so I want to do that this week. And I've been spending a lot of time trying to fine tune and tweak my lesson on that. So it'll be lesson from This Generation for Us Forever, lesson 209. And we're talking about the preface still. And I'm needing to wrap that up. It has taken me more time this week to do that than I thought it would. So So that means I've had less time to devote to this particular midweek video. And so I've gone back and forth on what I want to cover in this video. Do I want to charge ahead by going through the end times and everything else, subsection of the introduction, as well as dispensationalism and time and space, or did I want to do something else? And there has been an interesting development. And so what I've kind of decided to do is update people on what has developed since I did the last video. Remember last week I did an original video. The audio didn't work, so I had to re-record it, release it on Friday. All right. Well, last Friday, I received through my church's website a contact form submission from Daniel Hummel, the author of The Rise and Fall of Dispensationalism. And those of you that follow this channel, you know, or at least I hope that you have picked up on or recognize the fact that I am trying to be honest, an honest interlocutor with anything or any work that I pick up a discussion of, whether it's this book by Daniel Hummel, whether it's The Forgotten Preface by Joshua Barzahn that I'm going to be talking about on Sunday, or whatever it is, that I'm trying to deal in an intellectually honest fashion with the material, okay? So Daniel Hummel has reached out to me, okay? Now, I have not had the opportunity to email back, and I will do that, but he responded to me and asked me if I was willing to dialogue with him. He thanked me for engaging and interacting with his book and asked if I was interested in dialogue. I have responded back and said that I was interested in dialogue, and so he has written me one email. And as I've already said earlier in the video, just not had the time to get back to answering him. But I did want to update people on a few things related to his response, okay? Now, I have an email here. I'm not going to put the email on the screen. I don't want to make his information public or anything like that. But I did want to cover a couple of points in his email as he's interacted with the first three videos so far, okay? So, he says, I've appreciated your close attention to my opening pages and your evaluation of my claims. Of course, we differ over the history and likely much more, but I appreciate your engagement all the same. So, of course, that's true. Some of the history that he has presented, most notably, in my opinion, thus far, is the disagreement over, you know, dispensationalism being a new thing, as far as the way that it's cast in the book, with Philip Morrow starting in 1927, okay? And then he goes on and he makes a recommendation, which I appreciate. I've already ordered this book. He says, to that point, I was recently reading a new pro-dispensationalist volume called Discovering Dispensationalism, and the historian Max Wormuck, I hope I pronounced that right, wrote the chapter on Darby and calls Darby the innovator rather than the creator of modern dispensationalism. Okay. He means this is in a way that emphasizes Darby's indebtedness to the earlier thinking rather than his creation of new doctrines. So let me just say, I am much more comfortable seeing Darby as an innovator rather than a creator. I don't think Darby created anything. Now, I'm ordered this book, Discovering Dispensationalism. It's supposed to come in on Monday, and I will be looking at it, particularly as it pertains to us going through the rise and fall of dispensationalism. But Darby was not a creator. Darby is an innovator. I think that's a good distinction to make between what's going on, because I've already covered how there are dispensational concepts that are taught before Darby. The Dispensationalism Before Darby book covers that, as well as ancient dispensationalism, as well as Ehlert's bibliographic history of dispensationalism, as well as the fact that the word oikonomia is in the New Testament and it is rendered dispensation, as I showed in English, going all the way back to the time of John Wycliffe. So to call Darby an innovator rather than a creator, I think, is definitely a more accurate way of viewing it. Okay. In the email, let's see, Hummel goes on and he says, I think it's very hard to tell the story of American dispensationalism from Brooks on, James Brooks, that is, without a pretty distinctive intellectual transmission that begins with Darby. So as a as an academic point of history, I don't disagree with that. It is clear that Brooks's exposure to dispensationalism comes through Darby's visits to the United States. Okay, and we covered that in my class, in my From This Generation Forever class. So I just want to go back here and pull this up, if I can do it relatively quickly. So the video playlist that you're going to want to be looking for on this is, where did it go? Right here. Talk about and cover various aspects of this. Okay. I don't know if I have a video playing here in the background. Just a minute here. Anyway, I apologize for all that fumbling around. Apparently, it's not going to cooperate with me. But there's an I have a playlist called The Essential Darby, and we talk in that playlist about the connection between Darby and James H. Brooks. So I don't disagree with Hummel in the fact that you cannot tell the story of American dispensationalism without noting the connection between Brooks and Darby. So we agree about that. Let's see here. He also talks about the fact that, let's see here. He gets into the fact that he does not cover in the book anything related to the mid-acts, the differences in dispensational positions between Acts 2, mid-acts, and Acts 28. He notes that one reviewer said that no stone was left unturned in his book, but he realizes that he didn't cover anything related to various positions as it relates to the origin of the Church, the Body of Christ, within the book of Acts. And he does acknowledge that I'm correct in my observation that the main dominant theme or story that he covers in the rise and fall trajectory is the Dallas Talbot Grace Seminary's tradition throughout the work. So the trajectory of rise and fall of dispensationalism that is being covered in the book is, as I identified, the rise and fall of academic dispensationalism at the major seminaries that taught it, most notably Dallas Theological Seminary. Okay. Now, this next part of the email is really kind of, I guess, the motivator for why I wanted to cover this dialogue between Brother Hummel and myself, okay? And it centers around my use of the term woke in the first episode, all right? So Brother Hummel writes, he says, I can appreciate how you would see using terms like white conservative evangelical as potentially part of a progressive agenda. But I can only say that the idea of me being, quote, woke would surprise everyone in my life. I do live in Madison, Wisconsin, and have a PhD from the University of Madison, both hotbeds of progressivism. He says, I am a millennial, but I am a biblical inerrantist, and I work at a ministry that upholds traditional biblical understandings of sexuality and gender within the same post-Christian context. So if you look in the comments for lesson one, or episode number one in this series, somebody did say that I needed to be careful with using the word woke. Progressive politics, I think, is a safer term. And so I did feel like I needed to apologize publicly to Hummel for using the term woke. Woke certainly has a circumscribed set of more extreme sort of values attached to it than simply being a politically progressive, although I would consider wokeism to be part of the progressive agenda, but one could certainly be politically progressive without embracing issues of wokeism in terms of gender and human sexuality. So I certainly felt a little bit bad that I had tied a brother to that term. If that brother is not claiming that term for himself. So I did think it was important in the interest of fairness to note what he says about that. Okay. Now, he does talk about that he thinks engaging dispensationalism, dispensational theology on issues of race and nationalism is part of solid scholarship on identifying this, not part in engaging with the history of dispensationalism, and not part of an underhanded political agenda. So I'm just going to withhold anything further on that point until we see how things unfold as we look at the rest of the book. Okay. So he does think that Christians need to reckon with how their individual cultures have interacted with those issues, particularly race and nationalism, these sorts of things. So I do think that Hummel is definitely kind of coming at this from a little bit of a different lens than I am. My history in dispensationalism has been very low engagement in politics. In fact, recognizing and understanding, if you will, even that the only hope and prayer the systems of this world have is a premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a lot to unpack there, and he did clarify a few things for us on that, and I thought it was only fair to share that. I do think in the end, though, we're probably going to differ on that, but I'm willing to grant him a level of sort of, I guess what I'm trying to say is if I identified Hummel as woke, and I should not have, I certainly apologize for that. Okay. Now, there's one other thing that he addresses here that I've called out in both episodes 2 and 3. And that is the dating of the book by Morrow. Okay, I noted on my copy from Google and also on the OED that the book dated from 1928. He says this regarding the dating of Morrow's book. He says, finally, as to dating the term, he's talking about the term dispensationalism. The book that I identified as first using dispensationalism is Morrow's How Long Is the End from 1927. This book is out of print as far as I can tell, and it was not digitized, but it is included in the Philip Morrow Digital Library in reformatted PDF form. The term appears on page 1, very similar language to the Gospel of the Kingdom in 1928. And Hummel says that the OED, in his opinion, has the wrong date. And then he thanks me for engaging in this conversation and giving attention to his book. And so I thought it was important to update the audience on the fact that there is now a dialogue between myself and Hummel. And I did ask him, I said, when I responded originally, I said, how did you find out about these videos? And he said that he was watching a video on Revelation, some message or sermon on Revelation. And when the YouTube video was over, it recommended episode 1. And he noticed the cover of his book, The Rise and Fall of Dispensationalism. And so he started watching the videos. Okay. So, yeah, I think that hopefully that gives the audience a little bit of an update on where things stand. And as far as the progressive nature of some of the argumentation regarding race and nationalism, we're going to wait and see how things unfold when it comes to that. And I'll probably let I'll point out where I think there might be some issues, but I'll let the viewer sort of decide where they're going to stand on that part of it. I will say that when I listened to the interview on the Holy Post, there was a certain and definite vibe of negativity that was coming across through the discussion between Phil Vischer and Brother Hummel when it comes to dispensationalism. And so it could be that my hackles were already up a little bit before I started reading it. So just a little bit of context there, a little bit of history for you on those points. All right. So there's a lot of stuff here on the channel. And when I tried to load some things there, it didn't work. So what you want to look for, if you want to do a deeper dive into this, while you're waiting, is you're going to want to go to the playlist. I showed it here. I'll put it in the description. You're going to want to go to the playlist, The Essential Darby. The Essential Darby playlist has all the material, I believe, in 12 hours related to Darby that we covered in the Grace History Project. The beginning of his questioning of the system of the Anglican Church, all the way through to his explaining his system of dispensationalism, to coming to the United States, to the influence that he had on James H. Brooks, etc. So while I don't necessarily agree with everything that is found within the argumentation of the rise and fall of dispensationalism, there are certainly also many points that I can agree with Brother Hummel on. So all that being said, appreciate you watching this video. If you've enjoyed this series, please like this video, leave a comment, share it, subscribe to our channel as a way of staying current with the ministry. I also want to remind you about our featured books, my church history, co-authored church history book on J.C. O'Hare and the Origins of the American Grace Movement, 1899 to 1985, as well as Rightly Dividing E.W. Bullinger, Assessing His Life, Ministry, and Impact. Both of those are contributions to the field of history, the history of dispensationalism, so please check those out. Before you go, also want to update you, there is a new podcast episode that my wife and I released this week, the Role of God's Word in Mental Health. So please check out the link in the description to the podcast as well. And before you go, the most important decision that you will ever make in your entire life is regarding your eternal state, okay? The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. He was buried and he rose again the third day, the victor over sin and death. You need to settle the issue of your eternal state before it's everlasting too late. The gospel is simple. God loves you. Christ died for your sin. God is ready, willing, and able to give the free gift of eternal life to anybody who trusts the finished work of his Son. Believe that, acknowledge your sin, acknowledge you cannot save yourself. Your work, your effort, your performance, your law keeping, whatever it is that you're doing to try to measure up to the righteousness of God is all going to leave you short of the glory of God. The only thing you can do is reach out in faith to a Redeemer who died for your sin, was buried, and rose again. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.